Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome back to another segment of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we have ultra-sensitive subject matter to talk about, not just today, but for the next few weeks. So much so that I decided that a short four-part series of talks will be better to adequately cover the material. As the subject matter states, this podcast is the foundation is based on the Willie Lynch letter. A great many of you may not know what the Willie Lynch letter is specifically. So what I want to do is I want to play a clip here from a YouTuber, Sovereign Embassy, he calls himself. A few years back, he narrated the letter. And if any of you don't know about the letter, you can actually Google it and read the narrative itself. But I just want to play a clip to put everything in context of what we're talking about specifically, and so that we can see the actual severity of what was proposed against the slaves of the 1600th century. Let me just play the clip for you.
The speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for controlling slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented, as our boat sailed south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you were here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof methods for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on the hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old versus the old black male versus the young black male. The young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all black, but it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kids are your keys to control them. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. That's a little hard for me to listen to. I've listened to it several times. To be clear, our concern is for the racial, when I say our, talking about rightly dividing the word as truth. Here on this station, our philosophies and our opinions are all based on the equalities for all people across the world. Our focus here specifically is the race relations between the black and white members of this country from the significant starting point of the 17th century slave trade in America. My plan, if I shall succeed, is to paint a vivid picture of what has happened between the two predominant races that have built and shaped America, which has led to this emotional chasm that causes so much divisiveness in this country. Today's media channels are constantly exposing these things, but yet and still, the sentiments are so polarized concerning the severity of injustices among the people. In order to stay focused, we'll have to sort of have an agenda that we'll follow so as not to add too much or to leave anything important out. I don't want to leave people scratching their head saying, what did he say? Our focus here will be on the specific categories of explanation, education, and reconciliation. To expound a little bit, explanation will be in the form of hopefully a comprehensive explanation of the express purpose of Mr. Lynch's speech, which you may have gathered from the little soundbite that you heard was control, to abort the resistance and the free will thinking of the slaves. To subdue, to remove the will for independence and to be totally dependent upon them, to intimidate, to place a degree of fear and dependence on the slaves toward the slave owners, and dissension among the slaves, the young and the old, as you heard, the light and the dark, those with nappier hair versus those with straighter hair, those who were, they took some into the houses, the lighter ones, the ones that were tolerable in their physicality, they took some of those inside the house and they used them for cooking and cleaning and so forth and so on. So these kinds of, and left the others out in the hot fields to feel the crops. And of course, this would lead to a type of jealousies and envies as well. So dissension was certainly a key factor. We're going to talk about the education, and in the education, we'll talk about the ramifications when the slave owners implemented these kinds of tactics. You heard through the voice of the gentleman through Sovereign Embassy, you heard Mr. Lynch's intention, and his intention was to subdue the slaves and have long-term effects in these tactics that he, you know, proposed to this group of people on the banks of the St. James River in 1712. The other category, again, will be reconciliation. This particular word has a two-part meaning. Restoration is one part of the definition. However, from my viewpoint, there's never been any genuinely friendly relationship between blacks and whites to restore. Instead, we'll talk from the standpoint of the secondary definition, which involves the action of making one belief or view compatible with another. In other words, this truth that we'll try to explain here which is in fact truth. Our objective is to get this viewpoint, to get our white brothers and sisters on board with this viewpoint, on board with this historical truth and narrative, so that there can be some type of, I don't know if restoration is the best word, but some type of mutuality where we can move forward in a positive way. How about that? This is incredibly important subject matter that we'll be learning as the weeks go on. It's critical to our understanding of many things concerning race relations. Our objective, again, is to educate and enlighten concerning the racial history of this nation. Our hope, mine specifically, is to accomplish making a view that leads to a mutually agreed desire to create righteous relations that treats all men and women equal, all men and women as equal, rather, as the words the Constitution states men are. The Constitution states that all men were created equally. They were absolutely correct in the eyes of God. But however, somehow or another, that's got lost along the way. That's a tall order, I know, but we'll have to start somewhere. What myself and a lot of people that are light years smarter than me know is that the plight of the economic and social inequalities and disparities and injustices and the care and well-being between blacks and whites directly stems from that systematic ploy of Mr. Lynch to mentally and emotionally retard the minds of the 16th century slaves. This method was learned and implemented by the white slave owners in the 17th century from Mr. Lynch, who was a Caribbean slave owner who reportedly had a handle on the maintenance and the operation of his plantation and slaves, so much so that he was sent to the United States as to present some type of methodology to the slave owners here in the United States that would help them to better manage their slave trade, their slaves. 1712, that's a mere 308 years ago, on the bank of the James River in Virginia, the speech was delivered, whose horrid effects reverberate until this day. On this podcast, we'll try to show the direct correlation concerning the mental and emotional effects that has placed on both races. Rightly dividing the word of truth is a Christian podcast with which we make no apologies. And it stems from the belief that the Bible is, in fact, the word of God and that everything in it is true, just, and right. So the dialogue will always come from that standpoint. The upcoming podcast, the show will air weekly for the next upcoming 3 weeks, will always include scripture to substantiate anything that might be said or thought during the podcast. I certainly don't want this to superimpose my opinion over the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is subject matter that, like I said initially, that is super sensitive. It's sensitive to the sensibilities and the emotions of the perpetrators and the ones that these I call heinous acts have been perpetrated against. We are looking for a type of a peace, a type of truth, a type of going in a direction that is so much different than the direction that we're going in now. But in my estimation, that calls for heartfelt and genuine care and concern for what has happened and what we look and expect to happen in the future. And so my prayer and ambition in this podcast is that the people of God, first and foremost, would pick up on this message, take up the mantle, and to devise all types of groups, all types of parties, have all types of dialogues, and all the things that are necessary in order for this message, this atrocity, to get out and to hopefully touch, God will touch the hearts of those who perpetrated these crimes. I bless you in the name of the Lord, and I thank you for this time, and we'll see you next time. Bye. And I wanna live.
fall in love.